From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we will today finally finish Matthew chapter 9. The last time we were together, on the very last broadcast, in fact, we were talking about Jesus as the true shepherd. And most assuredly, Jesus in Matthew's gospel is contrasting himself as the good shepherd with those who were making merchandise out of the flock of God. False shepherds who controlled and manipulated and destroyed the souls of the flock. The true shepherd, however, gives his life for the sake of the flock. And not only the Jews, as Jesus himself put it, other sheep I have, sheep which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and then there will be just one flock and one shepherd. From a biblical standpoint, from a historical standpoint, from the standpoint of Jesus and the apostles, the apostolic fathers, the church fathers, to this very day, the church was meant to transcend ethnic and racial lines. Let me parenthetically say this. Jesus is the true seed of Abraham. And as St. Paul makes plain, Jesus is the seed of Abraham, singular. Not seeds, plural, but seed, singular. Jesus is the singular seed of Abraham. And then, St. Paul says, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and then you are an heir according to the promise. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter what your nationality is, whether you're Jew or Greek or whatever. It doesn't matter your station in life. If you are in Christ, you're the seed of Abraham, and therefore you are an heir according to the promise. Which is to say, again, Jesus does not have a flock that is formed around ethnic and racial lines. There's only one human race, and Jesus Christ came to save that human race. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were false shepherds. And false shepherds and prophets always are mimics. They are mimicking the Pharisees. Whether we're talking about the Pharisees that lived then or the Pharisees that live now, their MO is always the same. They lure the sheep into looking forward to an earthly Jerusalem with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. Why? Because they want to keep their gig going. But by doing this, they trample upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ, the true shepherd. They forget by prophesying another temple, and maybe another temple after that, a millennial temple, a temple in which there are reinstituted temple sacrifices. This is being taught in churches today. And it's an abomination because Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrificial lamb. And after Jesus Christ, no need whatsoever for a temple. He is the temple. He is the true temple, not a temple made of limestone or gold, but a temple far greater than that. And so in this passage, Jesus not only contrasts himself with the false shepherds of his day, but points to an abundant harvest. He points to a harvest that will only be reaped by true prophets, not prophets with a false message. He's also talking about the paucity of labors. People that are willing to work in the harvest field. And so says Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Thus Jesus, he does the very thing he's talking about. He's in process of training or equipping his disciples to ingather the sheaves, to become partners, to become fellow harvesters with him, co-consummators of the kingdom of which he himself is the cornerstone. So now, as in the time of Jesus, we are facing unprecedented challenges. But just like the disciples, we also have unparalleled opportunities. In the category of challenge, think no further than Islam. Despite its incoherence, this Muslim cult, 1,600,000,000 strong, it's growing fast. It's actually poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Sodom. Demographics alone are alarming. Polygamous Muslims, they now boast a robust birth rate, all the while Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. So there's a void. There's a vacuum. It's always going to be filled. It will be filled by multiplied millions of Muslims who have little or no intention of assimilating into Western culture, which was forged on the anvil of Christ and the cross. Equally grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism, because they advance by sword. And we see them advancing by sword in numerous ways, including exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Added to the mayhem are multitudes who dismiss the Christian church as irrelevant to life. They're called apatheists. They're apathetic. Well, I suppose this serves to highlight present challenges. But what really begs your and my attention are potential solutions. We need to seize our moment in history just as the disciples seized theirs. We are to reap the harvest of our generation. Now, there are a number of things that I want to talk about. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about three things in particular. Because at the time of Christ, there were Roman roads. Christ came in the fullness of time. And they became the arteries by which the gospel went forward throughout the world. Today, we have digital highways. Not only so, I want to talk about discipleship and how critically important it is for us to be disciples, learners, or followers of Jesus Christ. Those who take seriously the words The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. These are the words of our Lord. And he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So we need to be disciples, but not just disciples, disciples that are deified, that have the dunamis within us, so that our change in the culture of the world will not be by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We need the dunamis of God to change this world. And we have been called to do that very thing. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as I talk about the digital highways of our time, discipleship, and then the dunamis or power of God by which we can as yet transform the world. Be right back. Please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI. And stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And as I said in the first part of this broadcast, we're going to finish up Matthew chapter 9 today. We're focused on two sentences by our Lord. The sentence is, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field," something that applies not only to the disciples at the time of Jesus, but it applies to us as disciples of Christ today. We have unprecedented opportunities. It is now up to us to seize our moment in history, to reap the harvest of our day. Just as Roman roads provided civilization's connective tissue in the past, so digital highways, they provide unprecedented opportunities for interconnectivity right now, today, in the present. In recent live sessions via social media, I have been privileged to connect with people in some 20 countries that I have never visited. Think about that. That's the power of digital connectivity. Not only so, but the Christian Research Journal replicated through digital media is a source of credible equipping in a post-truth culture, not only in America, but around the world. And as digital media is a source of interconnectivity, discipleship has to be underscored as a source of spiritual multiplication. And this in complete accord with the words of our Lord. We are, as Jesus said, to go out and make disciples of all nations. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are to teach them, make disciples of them. We are to teach them to obey everything that the Lord has commanded. And surely, says our Lord, "I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm with you always to the very end of the age." I want you to think for a moment with me. If there are indeed more than 2 billion Christians alive on planet Earth, imagine what just 400 million committed to discipleship could actually do. If each one led one person into the fullness of Christ and his church this year, the number, and again, I'm talking about committed believers, so the number of committed believers would double to 800 million. And if that process continued forward, it'd take less than 5 years to disciple all of the nearly 8 billion people on the globe. You wonder, why is it that Muslims are doing more for a lie than Christians are doing for the truth? With the illustration I just gave you, think about the population doubling in the time frame that I just set forth. Even if it did, it'd only take one more year to disciple the nations. That's the power of making disciples in accord with the commission of our Lord. And I want to go further. We have the connectivity that is necessary with digital highways. We have the command of our Lord to make disciples. But we have more. Because just as discipleship provides for spiritual multiplication, there's another factor. And that factor is codified in the word deification, which means becoming partakers of the divine nature, which becomes the very energy, the very dynamite that empowers us to change the world. And Paul talks about this in his letter to the Colossians, where he says, "We proclaim Christ. We admonish and teach everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." And then he said this, "To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully energizes me." Here's the takeaway. We can struggle with our own energy. We can be on the sidelines, not struggling at all, or we can struggle with all his energy. And that's what I'm talking about. The kind of energy that the disciples saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, that they got a glimpse of inexhaustible energy. There, Peter, James, and John witnessed a dazzling display of uncreated power. The face of Jesus Christ, well, it shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Moses and Elijah, who themselves had experienced divine energy, appeared as a bright cloud enveloped the disciples. Moses and Elijah experiencing divine energy. Remember Moses when he went up the mount and he encountered God and he came down, and his encounter with God was such that his face literally shone. I'm fair-skinned. If I sit in the sun for any period of time, let's say an hour or two, without suntan lotion, without a hat, you will know I had an encounter with the sun. Moses had an encounter with God. His face shone, not from the rays of the sun, but as a result of the uncreated energies of God. So Moses and Elijah, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples, they experience the ultimate lawgiver, the archetypal prophet, in glorious splendor. And they themselves are enveloped in uncreated energy, not biological energy, zoetic energy. It's not energy from this realm. It is the rays of divinity, God being present in every one of those rays that they encounter. And that I would submit to you as we end the broadcast today. That is the energy that alone is sufficient to empower a 21st century Pentecost moment. It's the mysterious energy, energy by which we may as yet be energized in the midst of unprecedented opportunity. I have to say, I rely on that energy each moment of every day, just as I depend on that same energy working in and through CRI supporters to undergird our many outreaches seeking to extend the border of God's kingdom for time and for eternity. And I want to thank everyone listening in to me that is playing a pivotal role as partners by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in what I always call the battle for life and truth. I'm grateful to you for making this ministry a reality. This ministry is not a Johnny Come Lately. We've been around since 1960. And by God's grace, we continue to make a difference for time and for eternity. But it's never done in isolation. There are people outside these walls that I don't often touch or see that are providing the dunamis, the power, through their finances, through their support, through their prayers, to make this ministry efficacious in the lives of so many. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, and so we ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. You're one of them. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible and Sermon broadcast. See you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.